Easter, which is okay for us to still kind of bask in the glory, if you will, of the resurrection. It's okay for us to do that every Sunday, because every Sunday is a celebration of the resurrection. But I think with it still so fresh in our minds, it's okay to mention it again, and we're still reminded of that a little bit here with our beautiful Easter banners and Easter lilies up here as well, reminding us of what a wonderful weekend we had last weekend, and we're glad that the story doesn't end either there, that we continue on and that we can gather again now this week and hear God's word preached, hear it sung, confess our sins, our faith, receive God's forgiveness together as a body of Christ, a family of God. And so welcome to our service this morning. We're glad you're here. Special welcome to our visitors. We have several here. I'll just mention one group. We have a very distinguished Bible school class here with us today, and so we're glad you guys are here. Pastor Jason Holt is here with us from headquarters at the AFLC with a small group of class travelers doing a class on youth ministry, and so they are here to observe our service this morning. Because if you didn't hear, we're doing a Youth Sunday today, and this is the first time it's been done in a while, I think, here. And so the youth are going to be taking part in different parts of our service. Most of our service, if you will, we're looking forward to their involvement, their participation. It's a wonderful way for them to express their faith and to grow and develop these leadership abilities and skills that they have. And it's a wonderful way for us as a congregation to encourage and to love and to support our young people as well. And isn't it so wonderful that we have such a wonderful group of young people here in our congregation? We're so thankful for you, young people, and glad. I hope that you know that, and that we love you very much and want to be here to encourage you. So we're going to be looking forward to all that they have for us in the service. After the service today, stick around. They're going to be serving donuts in the back, and that's one of their regular donut fundraisers that go toward the expense of the Fly Convention that happens every other year, the Youth Convention out in Colorado, happening not this summer, but next summer, 2019. And so feel free to stick around for that, and do not feel bad about buying a $50 donut. They're that good. They really are. That's maybe all the fundraising I'll do for you today. Okay. A few other things I want to mention here this morning. A couple of prayer requests. Pray for Donna Ranger, who was recently moved into Bethany on University. Keep her in prayer there as she transitions to Bethany. Pray for Donna Chelman. She had a pacemaker put in this week and is recovering. And pray for Felicity Patenode here too, who will be beginning her chemo treatments tomorrow. That's the plan? Yeah. So keep her in mind. Right now, plan is for a 25-week a chemo regimen with periodic stays, overnight stays in the hospital here for the next several months. And so keep her in prayer and try not to be too distracted by her cuteness up here in the front row as she's looking back at you. A couple other things I should say. Take a look at our weekly schedule. You can see some different things going on. One thing I want to mention is Wednesday, missionary Johnny Sliver is going to be here with us for most of the day, doing a few different things. She's going to help with the after-school program. She's going to be at Bible study that night giving a presentation, so come out for that at 6:30 and hear her speak about the work that's being done at the Miriam Infant Home down in Brazil. If you can't get here in the evening, on Wednesday, she's going to be here at 1:30 in the afternoon that day for coffee as well. And several are planning to be here already. There's going to be, I think, some refreshments served also at that time. And that's just a time to informally sit down and chat with her. If you've never met Johnny, she's a bubbly personality and just a wonderful person to spend an hour with. And so come and do that on Wednesday afternoon if you can't be here Wednesday night. Or if you can come to both, that's even better. But that's going on. You can see some other things happening there too, so please take a look at that. The only other thing I really wanted to highlight was VBS. We're now past Easter, so we start thinking ahead to some of these things, and VBS is early in the summer for us, and I think I've mentioned it a few times, we don't have a summer team coming from the Bible school this year, and so that means that the onus is on us to do some of these things, and I think that's a really great thing really great responsibility that we have. But please, please take a look at this announcement on your purple sheet and look at where there might be a place that you could plug in and help to serve with that ministry here in June. Let the Christian Ed Committee know where you might be willing to serve there as well. There's another thing too I love about our flexibility. There's a box you can see there. If you can't commit to the whole week, but just to a few nights, they're also happy to work you in. And so please look for how you could help during that week in that very wonderful ministry of our congregation. Any other announcements that I missed that need to be made? And if not, then let's hear our call to worship this morning from Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Let's stand and sing together our opening hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. Holy.
You may be seated. Philippians 3:7 says, "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ."
Mercy has left for the people which thou hast redeemed. Exodus 15:13.
Spirit, we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts
this time, I would direct your attention to the bulletin. The words will also be on the screen. We're going to confess our sins as we do every week. This week, the confession of sins is a little bit different. It comes straight from Scripture, Psalm 51. And this is the psalm of confession that David prayed after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. And one of the things that always strikes me that I remember, too, from that episode, and specifically from this psalm of confession, is lest we ever convince ourselves in our hearts that we don't need to confess our sins. You know, the Bible calls David a man after God's own heart, and yet he still struggled with sin too. And you and I, as Christians, still struggle with sin. It's important for us to still come and to sit and to humbly, even if we don't physically do it, in our hearts, to kneel before God and to confess our sins and confess that we need a Savior to come and to rescue us from our sins. And so confess your sins. I would invite you to do that with me using these words of David printed in your bulletin. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. A little further down in Psalm 51, it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. That's the joy and the beauty of God's forgiveness. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. There is forgiveness and cleansing to be found in the shed blood of Christ, in his victory over sin and death when he rose from the grave that beautiful Easter morning that we celebrated last Sunday, that we are cleansed, our hearts are made clean, and the joy of God's salvation is returned to us, and it says here that we are then upheld in spirit. That's what we have in Jesus, and that's the forgiveness that he freely offers and gives to us in Jesus' name. We thank him, we praise him, we love him for that. Amen. At this time, we have a scripture reader. Yes, okay. Mark Olson will come and read scripture for us.
The first scripture reading for today is from Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 22. May you please stand for the reading of God's word. Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 22. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb. On the day of the assembly, when you said, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord, my God, or see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, they are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how may we know if the word that the Lord has spoken has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him. The second scripture reading is from Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our body and the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive again together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he may show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, for God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Here ends the reading of God's word.
Let's join together in confessing our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. This time I'll call the ushers. Yeah, I missed that. John, you get to come up. Before we have offering, we're going to have a testimony here from one of our youth here as well. So why don't you come on up, John? Thanks.
I have become a Christian with much help. From my parents and congregation, you have helped me with spiritual support, prayer, and financially. I would like to thank you for sending me to FLY in 2015 and 2017. This really helped me in my faith. FLY was a blessing to me because I could be surrounded by kids my age with the same desire for Christ. Identity was the theme for 2015. I learned that you can't just know that Jesus was your Savior, but you also had to live like it. In 2017, the theme was Illuminate. This taught me that you have to be a light to other people. One of my favorite verses is Psalms 23:4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and staff, they comfort me. This is one of my favorite verses because it shows that no matter what you go through, God will protect you. We have nothing to be afraid of because he is with us. I'm very grateful to have grown up in this church. You have been very important in my growing of my faith. You have supported me financially by sending me to camps like FLY and Fahocha. I would also like to thank you for supporting me from Kids Club all the way through Youth Group. I'm thankful for my great parents. They have raised me in a Christian home. They have taken me to church and they have helped me in my relationship with Christ. They have done so much for me and I am thankful for that.
Thank you so much there, John. You know, we're really good at standing together and confessing our faith like we just did with the Apostles' Creed. It's a whole other thing to come up and confess your faith by yourself in front of everybody. And that's what a testimony is. It's simply standing up and saying, hey, this is what I believe. And so we're really thankful and glad to hear John come up and say that. Thank you for doing that. Now I'll call on the ushers. Lord, thank you so much for these gifts. Thank you for the many ways that you so abundantly and richly provide for us. You are so good to us. We thank you and we praise you, O God. And I ask that you would now bless the rest of our service and our time together here. Open our words, or open our hearts to hear your word. Feed us, we pray. In your name, amen. We do have a children's message this morning, and one of the youth is going to come and to teach our children. So we'll ask her to come up, Sophia, as well as the kiddos at this time.
All right, so with me I have three.
Wait. There we go. Okay, now you can start.
Okay, so I have three cups, and each of them stands for something. This one is Jesus, this one is sin, and this one is us. And so when Adam and Eve, when God created them, they were pure. But then something happened. They broke what God created. And so when we are born into a world of sin. Psalm 51 says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." So sin enters our hearts. And it makes us all black. So God had a different plan for us. Jesus is the only one who could have died for our sins because God says that he required a perfect sacrifice. When Jesus died on the cross, he washed away our sin. So does anybody know what John 3:16 says? Veronica, why don't you tell us what it says? Whoever believes in him. So it says that we should have eternal life. Isn't that awesome? So sin has no power over Jesus because he is God. Jesus washes away the sins of the whole world with his sacrifice. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says that we were washed and purified in Jesus. You guys can go sit down again. I don't have candy, I'm sorry.
Should never apologize for not having candy. Good job. Thanks, kids, and thank you, Sophia, too. Before the sermon, then, I'm going to call on, which will be given by Aaron. I should mention that, too. I don't know if I did earlier. Our youth director, Aaron Arneson, is going to be bringing the word to us today. We're thankful for him. This is a chance, if you haven't gotten to know him yet, he's still relatively new to our congregation, so you'll get a chance to hear from him. We're really looking forward to that, and so thankful for the ministry that he has here with our youth. We've got to remember to say thank you, too, from time to time, because he's doing a great job. And we're very thankful for all that he's doing here with our young people. So before he comes forward, then let's turn in our hymnals and sing together number 263, O Word of God Incarnate.
May not know me very well or have seen me around church, and I haven't introduced myself, but my name is Aaron, as Pastor Micah said, and I'm the youth director here at St. Paul's, and it's been awesome to spend time with the youth and these past few months, and to see God using them today in the service, and to see how it's grown me in my faith, and studying the Word with them together, and spending time with them. And today, the message is going to be from the book of Acts, chapter 3, and a little bit of background information this morning. And in this passage, we're looking at the very early church. Jesus has just ascended into heaven. Pentecost has just happened, and now we're here in chapter 3 of Acts. And Peter and John are on their way to the temple, and it's here outside the temple where Peter has just healed a lame man from birth by the power of God. And the people observing this are amazed, and I would be too, especially knowing if this guy was a lame man from birth who would beg at the gate of the temple. So let's read this passage, and please stand if you are able for the reading of God's word. It's from Acts 3, verses 11 through 21. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And faith that is through Jesus Christ has given this man perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold you by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago." God, I thank you that we can gather together as believers this morning. And I pray that you would use me and speak through me, God, and may your words be my words. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So, I have permission to tell this story, by the way. But many of you know my fiance, Rachel, and she had the privilege last summer of being on an ambassador's summer team. And so they traveled a lot. They traveled every day, and they would take turns driving, and one day it was Rachel's turn to drive. And they had a GPS that helped them navigate, so it's Rachel's turn to drive, and she's driving to their destination and following the directions of the GPS. And so she begins to notice on the interstate that the estimated time of arrival keeps going back and back and back. And expecting, they're going through a time change, so kind of makes sense how a GPS could be confused like with that. But you know, so she brushes it off, and eventually after about 30 minutes, she realized that she missed the exit and she drove right past it. And we all miss turns and things happen, and it, you know, usually isn't a big deal if things like that happen. But in our passage here, you know, the Jews, they did the same thing. They missed it. They missed Jesus. And except it is a big deal. And they were expecting a political ruler to deliver them from the Romans, but that's not what Jesus came to do. In this passage here, Peter is preaching to the Jews, and he refers to them as men of Israel. Peter tells them in verse 13 that the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, it is their God that has glorified this servant Jesus. And this is the God of the Jewish nation, you know, who has delivered Jesus to them, and they missed it. And they were searching for the Messiah, but they missed him, and instead of trusting in him for their salvation, they crucified him. In the last five verses of this chapter, Peter references Deuteronomy 18, which Mark already read this morning. It talks about a prophet that God will raise up. And in John 1, the Jews asked John the Baptist if this was him, if he was this prophet. And they were searching, the Jews were searching, but they didn't get it right. And I think as Christians, we too search in this life. We search for things to satisfy us other than Christ. We may hear and know that Jesus is our eternal satisfaction. We may hear that phrase, but we continue to turn to other things of this earth to satisfy our emptiness. Examples of idols that we may turn to, maybe it's our job, maybe it's our spouse, maybe it's sports or some hobby or our kids, and we look for these things to satisfy us, and only Christ can give us that satisfaction. It was just Easter Sunday last week, and Luke's account of the resurrection, in chapter 24, there's something I want to point out. And at the beginning of the chapter, the women are on their way to the tomb, and they find it empty. And the two angels appear, as we know, and the phrase that I'm sure we're all familiar with is they say, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" Now, this is obviously talking about, you know, Christ, but I think we can look at this phrase from Scripture and apply it to our lives. We often look for the dead things of this earth to satisfy our emptiness. And what we should be doing is looking for the living among the living. And that is Christ. And you may be wondering, just how do we find this eternal satisfaction? And like, how do we find this in Christ? What is eternal satisfaction in Christ? Because I've heard it, I've heard this phrase a lot, and I'm sure you guys have too. This eternal satisfaction isn't an emotional feeling of satisfaction. What it is the results from Jesus' finished work on the cross. And there's a good article explaining this, and it talks about the Passover in Egypt from Scripture, where the blood of the unblemished lambs on the doorposts of the Jewish homes, that's, you know, because the blood was on there, that they were passed over. And that satisfied God's wrath, turned away his wrath, and satisfied his anger against sin. The blood of the lamb satisfied God's justice. So we look to Scripture in John 1, verse 29. John the Baptist calls Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In 1 Corinthians 5, 7, it says, "For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. And for those of us who have a personal relationship with Jesus, his sacrifice on the cross, the shedding of his blood, satisfies God's anger against sin forever." It's easy to look at this text in Acts 3, and it's easy to be like, yeah, the Jews, they messed up. You know, they need to repent. And I've been saying that, you know, the Jews messed up. They did this wrong. They missed Jesus. And, you know, it says in verse 15 right here, "You killed the author of life." But that's us too. That's us too. We too have killed the author of life because our sinfulness, you know, because of our sinfulness, Jesus had to come and die on the cross. Our sins put Jesus up on the cross, and we are the helpless lame man in this passage who needs Jesus. In fact, the Bible says we are so helpless that we're dead. We're dead in our trespasses and sins. There's nothing we can do to even get a portion of righteousness before God. Ephesians 2, 4, and 5 talks about how we are dead in our trespasses and sins, like I said, but it doesn't end there, thankfully. The gospel is the last word. And these verses together, they say, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even though when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." In verse 16 of our text, Peter says, "And in his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know." And that faith is through Jesus and has given this man perfect health in the presence of you all. So just as this man by faith has been given perfect health, we are then, by faith in Jesus, looked at as perfect because of what Jesus has done for us. God looks at me through the lens of Jesus Christ, and he sees me as perfect. And that right there is a beautiful thing. And it's a real thing. And we can rest in that. And it's it's literally the greatest thing ever. And I just, oh, it's awesome. And so we see in verse 11 how this man who has been healed is clinging to Peter and John. And just as this man clings to Peter and John, we are to cling to God's word where God reveals himself to us. It is here in God's word where we see the promises of God that don't change, unlike other things of this world. We see beautiful scripture like verses 19 and 20 of our text that say, "Repent therefore and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." We need the constant encouragement of God's word. The Christian life is one informed by the law, which we absolutely need to hear the law. But the Christian life is dependent upon the gospel, and we find that gospel message here in God's word, the Bible. So in this passage in Acts, we see the Jews and how they missed it. They missed Jesus as the Messiah, and that's my prayer for you today, to not miss Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Repent of your sins and believe in Christ. The good news of Jesus, the gospel, it actually shows us our sin because it shows us how terrible we are that it took the Son of God to make things right. But it also shows how much Jesus loves us because he was willing to do this for us. Romans 8:1 says, there's now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus gave life to the lame man. And in Jesus, we are too. We are brought from death to life. A life of continual repentance at the foot of the cross, dependent upon the good news of Jesus Christ. Living in light of the resurrection. That's where we want to be. Amen.
As we close this morning, let's turn in our hymnals and sing about this washing, this cleansing, this healing, just like that miracle that happened that day and that Peter preached about. Hymn number 557, What Can Wash Away My Sin? Lord, thank you for being our righteousness. For making us right, for making it, as Aaron talked about, Lord, so that we are healed, we are cleansed, we are made perfect in your eyes, in your sight, because of the great, wonderful work that you have done for us. Oh God, we thank you and we praise you and we love you for the greatness and the goodness of your mercy and love toward us. I pray for each of us this week that as we leave today and as we go about in our workplaces, in our schools, wherever it might be, Lord, that your love would shine through. And I pray that you would teach us to love one another as you have loved us. Wherever it might be that you call us to. Lord, thank you so much for our youth. Thank you for the work that you are doing in their hearts and lives. And I pray, oh God, that you would continue to lead and guide them. I pray that you would grow them in you, and I pray that you would use our congregation and our youth director and our youth committee to continue to bless and encourage our students. Lord, I thank you for the wonderful service that they provided for us today. I pray for those who are hurting today for whatever reason. We pray for Donna Ranger, for Donna Chelman. Lord, we pray for Felicity, too, as she begins her treatment this week. We ask for healing where that is needed, for comfort and strength, Lord, where that is needed as well. For those who aren't mentioned, you know our hurts, you know our pains and our weaknesses and our struggles. God, we thank you that as was testified earlier today, also you are with us wherever we go to comfort us and to strengthen us. Father, I thank you for this time together. Hear us now as we pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please rise and receive the benediction. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.